This is feedback for Bill Kearns. Bill, thanks a lot. It's been a privilege to be led into your story. And I thank you for everything you've shared. There is, what do I see as the glory and effect of your life? You never said this, but I sensed, like, from the beginning, a softness and a tenderness that's in you, and I mean this in the best possible sense. The picture that comes to mind is a teddy bear. So I mean that in the best possible sense. And I feel like that is something that is in you that may not have been affirmed or validated as a young kid, but is still there. And I think what that produces in you is that sensitivity, the caring, the compassion. It's in there, but to the extent that it was not affirmed and validated, it's easy to deny that or stuff that or tuck that away. So that's the first thing. And another thing is, you are an inviter and an includer. You want to make the circle bigger. You want to bring people in. Anything that you find that you're enthusiastic about, you want to share it with others, and you want to bring them on board, whether it's inviting them to a Zoe event or CBMC or Friday morning group, or and particularly with Zoe then and like God's kingdom and discipleship, you want to bring people in. So I see you as part of your glory being an inviter and an includer. In your words, a fisher of men. Not just your words, God's words too. And I'm actually going to say, your words were, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, and through your story, I feel like you've lived a life of privilege, and if wasn't your own means, you had like access to means and resources and assets of others. I don't know that that's necessarily a glory of your life, but it seems to be an ever-present reality in your life that can be used like for glory. What I see coming against you, two things. The first is, and you mentioned this too, like too much of a good thing, that you are excited, you came to Christ and you were like getting involved with the church, getting involved with Zoe, getting involved with CBMC, and you felt you were doing something almost every night or several mornings, and you felt, then you had to, you didn't say this, but it seems like almost like a type of burnout, and so then you withdraw. The Merton quote that they shared in here, I'm going to read it for recording purposes. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit to too many projects, to want to help everyone and everything, no matter whether it's good or it could be all good, is itself to succumb to the violence of our times. So I think the one way the enemy would love to make you ineffective would be to spread you too thin. So that's one way. The other way is just the lie that your validation and your worth comes from your power or your position or your status. Okay. That's not where your ultimate validation should come from. It should come from the Father. And it should come from, I feel like, through your earthly father as well. And I don't know I don't know how well that may have happened, but and tied into your glory, like that's what I feel like. There's like a softness and tenderness. If that wasn't validated and affirmed, then in the absence of that, there's it's easy to find validation, like I said, in like power position status and being like the hard worker. Like, you know, nobody's going to outwork you. And you can be like the tough guy, you know, pre-Christ. And I think whenever that toughness masks your compassionate side, the tender and soft side, I think it's an assault on your glory. And it's easy to be like a different persona, like at work than at home. Like if your wife and daughters were describe you as caring and sensitive, but people at work describe you as hardworking, and there was the fun loving aspect too. And that's I see that's probably changing. Like you're in the midst of you're growing and being transformed. So I see that changing, but I think the enemy would love to keep you being like a different person at home than you are at work, and vice versa. But I think the good that God is up to is leading you towards greater integrity, and by that I mean like an integrated self. You're letting that sensitive side be affirmed and validated so that you can live out of that and share that with others. And carry out your job duties from that place in your heart too. It sounds like that's happening. I feel like that's the part of the good that God's up to. I feel like He's calling you into community still, like out of isolation into community, but not too much community. calling you to use your privilege and your means for others when possible. Making you a fisher of men. And in that sense, I think your bait, so to speak, the most effective is going to be people. I think people could be drawn to you because of your access to resources and assets. In that way, people may see you as like a stepping stone or use you towards some other end. Not saying that will happen. I think it's possible. But I would love to see, and I think God would like to see people to be drawn, to be drawn in by your heart.
Yes.
And I think you're on that, well on your way on that journey. Two more things I think God's up to. One is, they're one and the same, modeling Christ-like living for your daughters and modeling for them what a good and loving husband looks like. You say one is married now, right?
Yes.
But I think they'll take their cue from you as to what they ought to look for and their future husbands. And I think you being like born again, new life in Christ, and living that out with your wife, doing a book study together and dating, and I just know, you know, that's sending a great unspoken message to them. And it's just not like, I think God could be doing something, could work in their hearts just not by you doing anything intentional, but by you trying to live faithfully a Christ-like life with your wife, you know, as a husband. I think they're going to get, God could do a work in them through that.
Thank you for validating that for me.
Okay. For Bill, thank you. I saw some themes. I want to start with your glory. I look at you and I from listening, you've got an intellect and a mind to see how to improve things, how to grow them, how to solve problems, how to build. and you've shown in your successes in your jobs and how people saw that in you and then called you up, hey, I want you to come over here and do this and do this and help us improve here. And even though you weren't the best of, I remember you saying, telling you, you weren't the most popular guy as far as when you made improvements, it people didn't like you very much at that point because they lost jobs in the textile business, right? But you're a problem solver, and that's where I see part of your glory is that. But where I see where the enemy can assault you potentially is I've got a few things of I can't get away from those pictures of the alone, like the small, the, you know, the deer, the rabbit, the bird. I think that's a part of his assault on you, and I think that goes back to your childhood of feeling like someone else was raising you and not your parents, and in your words, being shipped off to camp, even though it was a fun experience, I think, you know, at Camp Seagull, still that feeling of they're shipping me, I'm not around my parents. I think even at age 60, there's still a young boy in there that wants to hear from his father, that wants to hear, I'm proud of you, son. And that kind of goes along with Jeremiah saying about that validation. I think the enemy attacks you in ways of telling you that you're not enough, feelings of inadequacy, and they're lies. They're absolute lies. Possible assaults could have been the biology class. Had plans of following your father's footsteps, the biology class that you did. You're a smart guy. I don't care what anybody says. You're a smart guy. And then your business shutting down. You express some real, I don't know if it was regret, but it was just, what the hell happened? Like, why can't I be successful? It was, I believe, the quote that you said. What's going on? And then the last assault that I've got on here is overcommitting. But what I think the Lord is up to and what he's trying to send you a message to your heart is that you've got nothing to prove anymore. You've got nothing to prove anymore. He delights in you for who you are and not what you've done, but also who you're becoming. You're already a success. You've been a success. And you are successful because you're his, not because of anything that you've done. And then the other thing I feel like he's after your heart is that you continue to chase after your wife's heart as well. I saw a little glimpse of that and the teddy bear and the, you know, you're a little bit shy, sheepish about mentioning Pretty Woman. Don't be. That's a beautiful part of your heart, and being able to dance softly on the floor along with the, yeah, I'm a problem solver and I can do things and I can get them done efficiently and well. So that's what I have.
Wow. So Bill, just in terms of time and context, I've gotten to know you over the past 48 hours or thereabouts, and the minute that you walked in the door, there was this kind of just aura about you, and we just started talking casually, and it's just uncanny how serendipitously things happen, the things that we shared and how our conversations grew. And when I look back now in terms of what we've shared, in terms of the exercises, I truly see desire awareness. And, you know, you're deep into deepening who you are. And this idea that you are accomplished, I see that, and that's born out through success, but success is born out of failure. And you've told us about the failures and how you've grown and matured as a man through the stages of life. And I think that's the weightiness, that's the glory that you have to offer. So in some ways, I see you as a king and developing into a sage in the terms of a timeline. The other feedback that you spoke to that I heard earlier that, prior to me, I think the honesty and the caring and the loving that they're sharing is meant for you to take that as knowledge and to continue on that role as a sage, because I think that's your entering into that part. And I think that's shown by the love of your daughters, and the offer and the experiences that you have to give them. It was said earlier that spirituality is something that you want to give to them more now. And I think that's truly important. There's a song that I think of more than scripture. And when I can't find scripture, I'll go to song. And I don't know if you're familiar with, but Harry Chapman, there's a song called Cats in the Cradle. And it's about a relationship between a man, a father, and a boy. And one of the themes that runs through it is isolation. And I would say, if you get a chance to listen to that, think about that as just, that's the assault. That's the enemy that you need to be careful of, because I think success born out of failure and accomplishedness was a way for you to take that energy that you were uncomfortable with. In your pictures, industry and natural power, there, I see the industry, I see the pollution side of it, and I think that's the toxicness of being isolated. But then you see the natural power, and to me, I see that as, that's clean, and you like to fish. And the earlier analogy of a fisherman providing for his fleet of people is in the servitude of that in the Bible, I think it's spoken to. And I just don't want you to become isolated, and everything that you have to offer is God's creation. And I'll close on this feedback. Take the time to lay down in those flowers. Okay? I think that's what it is. And, you know, I couldn't think of scripture, but when I heard a comment earlier about Silver Spoon, it made me think about that song. Because in that song, there is peace and there is serenity and there's wisdom and there's guidance. And I think you will continue to grow your kingdom and become that sage.
Thank you very much. Wow.